Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How are you all doing today? How is everybody doing? I got my brothers coming in. It's one of my favorite times of the day. So you want to join us tonight, call in at 516-387-1549. And listen in to join the call.
The truth be all up on ya. It's spreading like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, truth and power corner. Dropping black facts at this exact hour. Hear the bill of nation, call it black power. Raining knowledge down like a black shower. Standing tall for the people like a black tower. We take the system down and build our nation up. Ain't no replacing us, ain't no erasing us. We got the system shaking cause they be facing us. We showing world love cause they embracing us. We fight for independence, freedom is what's intended. See, we didn't start this war, but we about to end it. Our nation, we defend it. Yo, best believe we winning cause we always speak the truth no matter who offended. Cause they been lying to us and they mistreating us. Holy be beating us. I think we've seen enough. Long as we stick together, then we will never fail. Come on, let's fight for freedom and build a better world. The truth be all up on you. It spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream. Power.
We are gonna always continue to fight because this is our protracted fight. Salute to all of our political prisoners, POWs, elder comrades, and exiles. We are not doing enough to get them home. They are still suffering and being tortured and murdered daily. What are y'all prepared to do? Salute to all of our grassroots black media platforms and our sisters and brothers that continue to bring us the knowledge and information to keep us connected. Thank you all for your hard work and service. Salute to Republic of New Africa, Madam President Salma, Madam Vice President Mama Aya, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our new African nation. We encourage each of you to check us out at our website at pg-rna.com. To find out more and how to support it, donate to the nation, free the land.
I say, welcome, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. Today is November the 11th, 2022, our show date. We want to welcome everybody. We have a great show for you all tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to the show. We are the New African Broadcast Association. Please check out our other shows, The Voices of New Africa on Sundays at 12 noon, New African Perspectives on Monday at 1 p.m., Foundations of the Nations on Tuesdays at 10 a.m., and Conversations Between Comrades on Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. All of these are Central Standard Times. Please join us. We are building a new African broadcast media platform for our people. We are the ones that have to propagate. We are the ones that have to keep us informed, keep us connected. Thank you all for joining us tonight. I want to get on into our show and welcome our guest tonight. Tonight we have our very special guest coming in out of Virginia. Nat Turner and Gabriel Prosser District. We have our Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of New Africa, Minister Haki Ali Shakur. I hope I didn't mess up your name, Minister. How you doing today?
Free the land.
How you doing?
No, you pronounce
free the
it
land. Free the land, Mister. How you doing today?
Everything is beautiful. I'm having a blessed evening. I truly appreciate you, you know, inviting me on your platform. It's a beautiful evening.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're going to go home and get right into the show. I want you to, first of all, happy belated Earth Strong to you and your mother. So I hope y'all had a great, you know, Earth Strong. So that's what we want to first do. And I want you to, you know, tell us your backstory. Tell us about Minister Haki, what made you the unapologetic warrior king that you are today.
I appreciate the Earth Day wishes and things of that nature. I truly appreciate it. My background and story is unique and it's pretty simple, but, you know, again, I'm from Richmond, Virginia, Gabriel, that kind of Prosperville district. This is where I was born and raised. I just put it like this. Basically, my upbringing was, you know, New African proletariat family, you know what I'm saying, mother, father. Growing up in a southern state, you know, it's difficult. A lot of racism. A lot of death, a lot of murder, things of that nature. Growing up here in Virginia, you know, it's very, very, very southern. So, you know, I'm pretty sure you know how that is living in Memphis, Tennessee. Same reality, same atmosphere, you know. It's very southern, very, very racist. I have to keep saying that. But my upbringing was pretty much, you know, working class family, middle class. I gravitated a little bit off, you know, off that, you know, and, you know, gravitated a little bit towards the street life when I was growing up and things of that nature. But me going through that experience is what actually, you know what I'm saying, made me who I am today, because when I did veer off into the little street life, street trials and things of that nature, it opened my mind to another reality, and that reality of what our people we're going through living in this type of empire, this type of, you know, society. So it was kind of like a bad thing, but also it was kind of like a, you know, what groomed me into who I am today. But eventually I got off of that path quick because I knew that the way that I was living wasn't the right way that I was supposed to be living. And my brothers and sisters, you know, that got caught up into like the street life and street tribes and, you know, this criminal lifestyle and the criminal way of living. So that opened my eyes to, I knew I needed to, you know, change myself and transform myself. So that's what propelled me into this transformation of who I am today. I would say something particularly that opened my eyes to make me want to become the person that I am as far as a new African and things of that nature was watching the struggle of political prisoners. That was my introduction into the movement, period, was watching the struggle of political prisoners and watching how the government was treating them and how this empire was treating them and things of that nature. So I wanted to learn more about that struggle on why were these individuals, you know, treated the way that they were treated and why, you know, doing, you know, where, you know, people was doing things for them, fighting for them, struggling for them, bringing attention to them. So I wanted to hop into that. So one particular event and date that really transformed me, which was the Jericho movement of 1998. I was a young teenager, you know, and that march on Washington, D.C. in 1998 was my introduction into a whole nother way of thinking, a whole nother way of life, and I wanted to be a part of that. So possibly that I could possibly do to try to become a part of that movement, and that's when I became introduced to the New African Independence Movement. At the same time, I was writing political prisoners. I was trying to learn their struggles, learn their, you know, the reason why they were incarcerated and things of that nature, and it just opened my mind and my life into a whole nother, you know, way of living and thinking, period. So So this is when I got introduced to, you know, Dr. Matula Shakur. I started writing him, getting introduced to him, and he was showing me things, you know, teaching me things, everything that he could possibly do at that point in time. He couldn't really do too much because he was underground at that point in time in Colorado. But I took those things and I started to self-teach myself. This is how I got into all the research work, the historian work, and things of that nature, things that he showed me and told me to research in the New African Independence Movement as far as our history, as African people in America, things of that nature. Just small steps that he was telling me when he was writing. I took those small steps. I made it a lifestyle. This is how I got into, like, history. Being a historian was through self-education, self-teaching myself. This is when I got into a whole bunch of reading, collecting books and things of that nature. And taking where I lived at also as a basis to want to grow as a person, because so much history was here in Virginia on our people and the struggle and what this empire was doing to our people, you know, with the transatlantic slave trade being an origin here in Virginia, you know, Virginia being the capital of the Confederacy. I took all those things, put it in the melting pot, started to cipher and break these things down to understand our material reality as African people in America. I took those things, and it helped me grow over the years and things of that nature. And what took me to that ultimate step of becoming a warrior was meeting my mentor, meeting my brother, Sanyika Shakur, in the early 2000s. Him still didn't really have a total grasp of what things on the movement, as far as the New African Independence Movement and things like that. I still didn't have a grasp of it because Matulu couldn't really give me all the time that I really needed to learn about the New African Independence Movement. So this is where Sanyika Shakur come in the picture. He takes me under the wing. Both got the same mentor, which is Dr. Matulu Shakur. So it's kind of crazy how me and him met. But, you know, glad I met him because he really took me under his wing and really started to teach me and show me this is our political line. This is our reality as New African people in America. This is what we're going to do about it. First, we got to, you know, get politically educated. We got to liberate our minds. We got to get revolutionized mentally. Got to have our own strict political line when it comes to these type of things so we can understand our struggle, understand why black people are going through what they're going through. So this is, you know, when he brought me into his movement, which was the August 3rd Collective and things of that nature.
Okay, thank you. For some reason, your phone is going in and out. Is something going on? Because we can hear you, and then it's just fading in and out. One of our callers just informed me of that.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. But when you were talking, it was just like we'll hear a word, and then go out, and then you'll come back in. But I can I hear you, but one of my callers just texted me and told me. So hopefully they'll be able to hear you. Next question and answer. Go ahead.
I might have been a little bit far from my phone, so I'm gonna put the phone a little bit closer, and because I think sometimes when you be kind of far away from the phone, it'll try to go in and out. But I got the phone more closer to me now, so hopefully they can hear me.
Okay, and I'm glad you did mention Dr. Matulu Shakur because I'm so happy they did release him on yesterday. And they said it was a deathbed prison release. And that's why I wanted you to weigh in on that because I feel like they, like you said, the political prisons, that's how I was introduced to the movement as well, working with political prisons too. And I wanted to ask your opinion because it seemed like they keep them in there, breaking them down and don't even release them until they are almost, you know, dead. You know what I'm saying? And I want to know your opinion on that because, you know, I'm glad he home, but they kept him in there until he, you know, why, until he's sick. You know what I'm saying? So what are your thoughts on this?
Yes. That's, to be honest, that's one of the main reasons why I got into this political prisoner struggle and becoming an advocate of political prisoners and prisoners of war. Because through all my years of research, I just was, you know, trying to get an understanding on, you know, what was all this medical neglect talk was about. Because when I was coming up, I was learning about, yeah, we have political prisoners. But they're torturing them, and, you know, I'm hearing about all this torture. I mean, even going back to, like, George Jackson, you know, like, if people are aware, you know, and you read up on George Jackson's story, you can learn about those type of things on what they do to prisoners that become, politicized or become a part of the Black Liberation Struggle or the Black Liberation Movement. And, you know, a lot of those great elders and comrades from back then in the 60s and the 70s, if you read about their stories, they're always talking about, you know, this psychological warfare, this mental torture, this physical torture that they do to Black prisoners who are, you know, politically aware, politically conscious, or they're a part of the Black Panther Party, or they're a part of the Republic of New Africa, or they're a part of, you know, any type of movement that they deemed and criminalized as, you know, people, you know, criminals. So, do my research on that, and that's what really made me want to become a part of this political prisoner struggle. Now, this is something we got to understand, is that everything that they do to political prisoners is done on purpose to break them, to break their spirit, is to break their mind, it's torture them to the most, you know, and you know, subject them to the most inhumane treatment and conditions possible, to detach them from the people. The whole sole purpose of them and getting them incarcerated and getting them in the system of incarceration and, you know, 21st century slavery is to get them in there, to break them. It's to break their spirit. So we got to understand that. You know what I mean? It's a whole psychological warfare and physical warfare once they get political prisoners incarcerated. The situation with Dr. Mutula Shakur is just like all the rest. It's like all the rest of the political prisoners. They get them in there. They get them into, you know, because people got to understand, it was a system called the SHU. SHU is solitary confinement. Once they get you in solitary confinement, they get you in this small cell. And they get you in this small cell where you're in that cell for 23 hours out the day. You're not around the other human beings. You're barely getting sunlight. You're not getting no communication. They're stripping you away from your family. That's something that they do to you also. They take you away from your family. They break all communication with you and your family because they know all these type of things, you know, are going to damage you mentally. So the whole thing is to psychologically enslave you, psychologically break you, subject you to sicknesses, because they know you're going to get sick in there anyway, because proper medical technology to even take care of prisoners. So that's one of the main reasons why they get you in there, so they can get you into those conditions, because they know these conditions are going to give you what we call euthanasia. Slow down. Basically dying slow. You're basically dying a slow death, a slow assassination. So those type of things want to, you know, subject you to a slow death. So, you know, it's something else that I want people to understand about that. They do this also to make an example, individual, to make you not want to be a part of that movement. Younger generations of people of not wanting to join the struggle. So it's basically like a crucifixion, if you want to use that type of terminology. You see what I'm saying? It's like they're basically like torturing these people, make an example of them, so no other, you know what I'm saying, new African people, Black people, or whoever gets inspired by these freedom fighters to make you think twice about even joining that type of struggle. So, yeah, they torture them. They subject them to these conditions on purpose. So by the time they get out, they're not really even, you know, physical or mentally prepared to even, you know, continue to be a part of the struggle. J. Edgar Hoover did all these type of things on purpose. COINTELPRO did all these type of things on purpose. Because if we can take these individuals away from the community, it'll leave the community in a chaos and a disarray and the conditions that we see today in the African communities, black and brown communities, period. You see what I'm saying? We have no leaders. You see what I'm saying? So it leaves the community in a lost state. So their whole job, see, people got to understand the whole job of penitentiaries, period, and the whole jobs of getting individuals that's politicized, whether you get politicized behind the wall, because they're doing this to individuals who are also, you know, becoming politicized behind the wall. You know what I'm saying? Younger individuals and older individuals right now are being subjected to these inhumane treatments by the political, by the state penitentiary, the federal penitentiaries. They're getting you in there to break you. That's their whole job. Just like slavery, when they was breaking the slave on the plantation, their whole job is to break you. So you would give up. So you won't be a part of this movement no more. So they can separate you from the younger generation, take you out of the community, and things of that nature. And unfortunately, Matula Shakur, they did that. Because there's some things I'm not going to speak about on this phone, but there's some things that I know, about what they did to Dr. Matula Shakur that was horrific. You know what I'm saying? Even all the way down to, like, the medical treatment and things of that nature. It was all torture. One example, it's things that I heard. Out of even Baba Matula Shakur's own mouth, it's things that I heard that we never heard from this individual before. We never heard from Baba before. You know, so Baba is one of the strongest revolutionaries there are. But to hear him, the way that he sounded and the way that he was speaking, we can tell what they was doing to this man in there. You know what I'm saying? So it's sad. Like, it's so. You know, I was happy that they gave him a role and things of that nature so he can spend the rest of his days with his family and friends and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, I didn't celebrate too much because I know what they did to the brother.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the things that pisses me off so bad, because they are only being persecuted and tortured like this because of their political beliefs and because of their fight for the liberation of our people. And they are some of our strongest warriors. And it pisses me out to the utmost. And I want to go on to the next question, because like last month was Black Panther History Month. We had the November the 2nd was the liberation of Queen Mother Asada Shakur, and different things, you know, because, hey, I did my research, because I went down your page and, you got a lot of information being a new African historian. So I was looking at all this, and then November the 11th is Nat Turner's insurrection, right? So we had all of these powerful fighters for our liberation, and they broke them down. They killed them, different things, just like Queen Mother Asada. She can't even come back to this country. That she didn't shoot that damn pig. But she can't even come back to this country, or they going to lock her up, you know what I'm saying, or try to kill her.
Yeah.
So my thing is this. Why, we had, and I know how they did the breaking down of our warriors, right? But how are we going to get back to having warriors like them so that we can get out of what we're going through now? Because these were some powers. The Black Panthers, they changed history, you know what I'm saying? But the government knew what they were doing, so they tore them down, you know what I'm saying? So working against what we had to work against, how can we get warriors like these back again?
Have to use the warriors who came before us as motivation, inspiration. Even taking it back towards, our ancestors, Maafa, that Holocaust, that's still going on today. You know, the human rights violations of those ancestors, the violations of human rights of our political prisoners and prisoners of war, See, all these type of things, you know what I'm saying, we got to use those type of things as motivation and inspiration, but also we got to use those type of things as teaching tools and lessons, because we don't want to make those same mistakes, you know what I'm saying, or fall for those same, you know, counterintelligent strategies and things of that nature that's coming from our enemy, you know what I'm saying, this empire, the United States of America, things of that nature. We don't want to fall victim to those mishaps again. So this is why we're always trying to tell people that, you know, history is so important. We gotta use history as inspiration in order for us to make history. So this is why, you know, historical materialism and things of these nature, this is why those things are important. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people like to think that history is not important, but that's the most important weapon and tool that we have, because we're not going to know where we're going if we don't know where we came from, and we got to know the things that we went through in the opposition and you know, the tactical strategies that this empire used against the people who came before us. We got to know these things so we won't make those same mistakes. And also, the ultimate thing is, you know, to instill in our people not to be in fear. Because we know all these type of things that they did to our ancestors and what they did to our freedom fighters was to instill fear. The generations that they know is coming behind these great warriors, these great freedom fighters, these great brothers and sisters. So we got to use history as the biggest weapon in order to, you know, clear our future, you know, to lead our future. Because at the same time, yeah, we get inspired by these great freedom fighters, inspired by these ancestors, but we got to understand that we have a birthright, we have a duty to make history ourselves. Because everything people like Asada, Turner, Hulu, you know, even our enslaved ancestors, the things that they went through to survive, we got to use that as inspiration. They went through what they went through in order for us to survive as a race, a people, a nation. You see what I'm saying? So we got to take those things and use those as inspirational, you know what I'm saying, tools to liberate our future. Now, you know.
Wait a minute, bro. Hold on a minute, Mr. Hockey. You still going in and out. Are you on speakerphone? Because for some reason, it like you would be talking, and then it just, we can't hear you.
I'm on a regular phone.
Oh, sorry.
I'm on my regular phone. I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay. I'm not sure why it's doing
this. Hold on. Let me try something else.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but. Yeah, I'm on my phone.
Yeah, cause you'll
I'm
be talking
Wi-Fi,
good,
so.
And then, I mean, it's just going in and out. For some reason.
It's definitely not my connection. Hold on, let me try something.
Okay.
Though. Hold on.
Okay. Okay, hold on just a second. He dropped for a minute, and he gonna come back in. Like I said, you are tuned in to the New African Broadcast Association. Please join us. If you want to reach out and donate, you can donate at $NCAB(A)BRadio. Like I said, those proceeds will help us. You know, build our projects and get things off the ground that we are trying to do to propagate and, you know, reach out to our people and keep our people connected. Like I said, we are building our own New African Media Association. So please reach out and help us. We're going to wait for Minister Hockey come back in. Just give us a second. Like I said, I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Much love and respect to everyone. We are having okay, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Do I sound much clearer now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It's not going in and out. Like I said, you can just pick back up what you were talking about, the importance of history being our biggest weapon.
Oh, yes. I was just basically saying, like, you know, we got to use history, you know what I'm saying, as an inspiration, as a basis in order to, you know, where we going as far as our future. Because, like I said, if we don't know where we come from, there's no way, you know, we can know where we're going. So at the end of the day, in order for us to make history, we have to know history. And that's a lot of, you know, that's some things that, you know, a lot of people, they try to skip that step. You know what I'm saying? They try to skip the step of knowing where we come from and things of that nature. So, you know, I would just tell people out there, you got to learn where you come from. And like you said, specifically dealing with, like, the Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Movement, period, and the Black Liberation Struggle, period. That's something that you have to study. You have to, so you won't have to make those same mistakes, because the elders will tell you, they don't want us to make the same mistakes that they made, because they fell for a lot of intelligence and things of that nature that was ran on them. And, you know, just mistakes, period. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the movement in order, you know what I'm saying, to fight the struggle in order to liberate our people, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to go through things that you may not, you know, may never ever went through. And you may see things that you may not ever been prepared for. So it's all about being prepared also. And in order to do that, you have to be able to study history and use history as a basis in order to make history, because we got to make history. Because we can do the same thing. That's what I'm saying. When it comes to, you know, like this struggle and things of that nature, you know, it's cool and everything to, like, you know, be inspired and look up to these individuals, look up to these freedom fighters and things, you know, of that nature. But you got to understand that you can be that also. You know, you have attributes. You have things. You have special skills. You have special talents. You have special things that you can, you know, lend to our liberation as a people and as a liberation of our nation. You can be that person. You can be the one. So that's something that, you know, we got to teach our children, our kids, you know what I'm saying? And just individuals, period, who are trying to transform themselves, who trying to become, you know, a productive new person, a productive new human, to create a better society and a better place for our people.
Exactly, because that's one of the main reasons why I do the work that I do with the Republic of New Africa, and why I'm so dedicated to this process. With you being a minister of foreign affairs, right? We have to make that global connection, right? Because when I first got into the movement, I didn't understand. You know, I didn't know my history. You know what I'm saying? I was raised up in that church, so I didn't know the history of our struggle and different things like that, and what was going on in other African nations and African countries and different things. And so, with you being our Minister of Foreign Affairs, what are the works that are being done so that we can connect with these other nation, African nations, so that we can have that support that we need to build our Black nation, right? Because we are in the process. So what are some of the works that are being done that's going to help us do that?
I'm glad. This is a great question, because this is something that, you know, that I put my passion into. This is something that even helped me develop myself as becoming a better new African worker, a new African citizen and things of that nature. And just becoming a better, you know what I'm saying, new African and Black man, period, is that we got to understand our connection to the world, because that's something that is very important and specific. Because, you know, I hate to say this, but it's a lot of Black people in America, you know, that's out of touch with the world. And it's a good understanding to that because of, you know, where we live as far as living, you know, in this empire, the United States of America, you know, and the colonialism that we are subjected to and what we're going through as African people, new African people in America. Part of that is to keep us disconnected from the world and to keep us disconnected from, you know, connecting with other nations, other brothers and sisters across this world, keeping us disconnected from their struggles. And even, you know, the global community, period, of oppressed peoples and oppressed nations that are also fighting and battling the same struggle that new African people in America going through. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of oppressed, you know, nations of peoples, oppressed peoples across this planet that are fighting and struggling for their own liberation and some land on this planet. So some of the work that's going on is that, you know, first of all, you know, reestablishing the communication with some of these nations and brothers and sisters and other nations of people that we have been disconnected from, going through what COINTELPRO did to the New African Independence Movement and what COINTELPRO did to the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. Part of that was to disconnect us and to keep us disconnected from international politics. You see what I'm saying? And you know, diplomatic relations with other nations that we had already established, like some of the elders that did the footwork that was in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who made these connections, like with different countries like Libya, Cuba, Venezuela, you know, in even our African countries and African brothers and sisters that we had diplomatic relations with. We lost some of that, you know, during the period of time of, you know, of COINTELPRO trying to destroy the movement, you know what I'm saying, just trying to destroy the Black Power movement. So some of that work that's being now is trying to, you know, reestablish these relations and these communications with some of these movements that have always been supporting the New African Independence Movement, you know, the Republic of New Africa, and just supporting Black people, period. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's different nations of peoples in different nations that have always supported the struggle of oppressed Black people in America, like places like Iran, you know, different places in the, you know, Middle East that supported the Black struggle. And a lot of that work was being done between, you know, Malcolm X and his movement and things of that nature when he was trying to establish relations with different African countries, whether it was Arab countries, African countries, countries in the Caribbean islands and things of that nature. So some of the work that I really am focusing on is trying to reestablish communications with, you know, brothers and sisters and nations in the Caribbean islands. Because the key to all this and the goal that we're trying to establish and the goal that we're trying to get to is you got to understand, we don't want to be alienated as a nation of peoples, because that's another thing that global white supremacy try to do to oppress people, specifically Black people in America. They want to alienate you. So if they can alienate you, they can continue to oppress you. You see what I'm saying? And things of that nature. So we got to keep this global communication intact, because we want to do, eventually, we want to get resources. We want to trade. We want to do things of that nature in order to build a nation on this land. Because if we don't have no economic trade and establish trading relationships with these nations of people, because they got resources and things that we need now that we're not even getting from this government of the United States of America, which we know they do that on purpose and they intend not to, you know, ply us with the things that we need. But we want to get to the point where we don't need this empire, because we know that we can do these things on our own. So some of the work that we're doing is trying to reestablish these relationships with, you know, the Caribbean island nations, those brothers and sisters, some of the, you know, our brothers and sisters that's in nations in South America that who, you know, they want to help us. But the first thing we must do is establish communication, because we have lost a lot of that communication over throughout the years and things of that nature. So that's some of the things and some of the work that I'm working on right now is, you know, trying to, you know, get in contact with different independence movements and things of that nature that's struggling also to liberate their, you know, nations of peoples and things of that nature. So right now, the most important thing of it all is to realign with these brothers and sisters we lost contact with and to reestablish our pan-Africanism and, you know, reestablish these pan-African relationships that we lost over the years also through, to, you know, all this low-intensity and high-intensity warfare that COINTELPRO has, you know, the New African Independence Movement and things of that nature. So the first line is reestablishing communication. That's something that I'm working deeply on at this moment.
I say, and we want to thank you for your work. Minister Haki. And that brings me to my next question, because, like I said, I was doing my research on your page. That social engineering, right, that you talk about. I did not get to watch all of it, right? And but mm-hmm. it created the this African American that they talk about, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't yeah. consider myself an African American. I'm a prisoner of war, a new African, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
with their social engineering, just like they doing the brother Kyrie Irving, you know what I'm saying? Different things that they doing, creating this environment that we live in, right? How
yeah.
Can you explain that to us, you know, how that was done and different things like that?
Yeah, social engineering. That is something that, you know, a lot of us is not privileged, you know what I'm saying, things of that nature. But, yeah, social engineering is very real. Not only is it being done to what we call the so-called African-American, it has been done to, you know, brothers and sisters in Africa. And I'm going to use them as a prime example. In Africa, we know that it's various different ethnic groups of peoples in Africa. You know, they go by different names. You know what I'm saying? The names that they gave themselves. This is something people got to understand. We got to always understand that as African people, we have always gave ourselves our name, identity, and who we are as a people. That's very important when it comes to culture and a way of life for people, whether it's, you know, ethnic groups, because I don't really like to use the word tribe because we know colonial terminology. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. The word tribe is a colonial terminology. That is something that the European nations, the European colonizers, gave those people in Africa. That, because that's what they were. Let's get that, you know, clarify also. Europeans on the European continent were tribes. You see what I'm saying? The people in Africa were nations. Whether that terminology was known at that point in time, but just the, you know, by the way that they lived, you know what I'm saying, as a culture, whether, you know, it comes to their spirituality, their consciousness, their awareness of who they are, their identity, they seen themselves as nations, regardless if that term wasn't even in use at that point in time. These different ethnic groups on this continent before the invaders came, before the colonizers came into the continent of Africa, these people know who they are. You could not tell them who they were. They already knew who they were. You see what I'm saying? Whether they were Yoruba, Igbo, Wolof, no matter what their name was, Mandinka, Mande, Iwe, Khan, Ashanti, Fulani, these are clarified identities of who they were. They lived that way. They ate that way. They thought that way. Whatever that name was, that's who they were. So in order to conquer somebody, what do you have to do? Brainwash them. You know what I'm saying? Psychologically. See, people got to understand, the greatest warfare is the war of the mind. So psychologically, they have to defeat you mentally in order to enslave you. And the best way to do that is through social engineering. Taking you out of your original inhabitant, taking you out of your original indigenous state of who you are, knowing thyself. Ancient Kemet, know thyself. If they can take you out of that, now they can use you and control you. Because once you know, a strict social engineering, you will no longer know who you are. That's colonialism. If people don't know what colonialism is, that's what that is. Social engineering. Taking you out of your original culture, taking you out of your original environment, and making you into something that you're not and can never be, i.e. African-American. That is something, that is an identity, that is a pseudo nationality, a pseudo identity, because that's not who we were when they went into that continent and brought us here. You know what I'm saying? Even some of those identities that's still left on the continent. And I'm going to give you another example. Nigerian. Nigerian is a colonizer's nationality. It's a colonizing identity. Why do I say that? It goes back to what I just told you. These people were separate groups, separate ethnic groups with separate identities. Yoruba, Igbo, Iwe, all these type of things, Fulani. The British colonized that region. We got to understand that. America's daddy, the British Empire, they colonized that region, colonized them, made them subject to the transatlantic slave trade. It was a domestic internal slave trade in that land. We get to the 1950s, 1960s. The British, you know, empire gave this land to people independent. I like to say gave because they didn't take it. It was given to them. You see what I'm saying? So they took all these ethnic groups and bust them up together who didn't want to be together. That's something we got to understand, too. These groups didn't want to be together. This is fact. If you study the history of Nigeria, these groups didn't want to be a part of no nation, all of us under one nation with this pseudo-identity. They wanted to remain what they were, separate under their own identity and things of that nature. The British Empire bunched these people all up together and called them Nigerians. This is why y'all, and that's why I always try to tell people, if you really want to study, like, what they have done to us and what they continue to do to us and why we're in such a chaotic state as a people, no matter where we are on this planet, study Nigeria. Study what they did there. Because if you learn about what they did there, then you'll know why the African-American was created. Because the same thing they did to them, they did to us when they brought all us over here and then took us through the most horrific, you know, systems of breaking of people, slave breeding, forcing different ethnic groups and nations to mate with each other, breed with each other for the domestic slave trade in America. No, people who wouldn't even normally even mess with each other, they forced them together, made them breed. And this is where we come from, the new Africa. You see what I'm saying? And they did the same thing to those people. They did it to us first. Tried to force us to become something that we're not. American. We can never be American. And you know, some of our people, you know, they can't seem to get that. But it's fact. You will never, ever be American. Period. Because that's not what you were before they kidnapped you. And that's not what you will ever be now. And this is why they continue to socially engineer us with that terminology of Black American, Black, African American. All these terminologies are social engineering, mentally and biologically. Warfare. What they doing to Kyrie Irving? Social engineering. Because they want him to be a Black American. They want him to be an African American. They want him to stay in his place. Like they used to tell our ancestors, stay in your place, boy. You're a Black American, second class citizenship. People got to understand these terminologies are second class citizenship because a real free people, a real liberated people, they have their own identity. They have their own nationality. They have their own land where nobody can tell them what to do. Telling you what to do and telling you what you are. That's social engineering.
I say, thank you, because and that's one of the things, because and I used to think about I want to move to Nigeria, right? And I want to thank you for the clarification, because I was like, shoot, they have as much conflict over there as we are here. You know what I'm saying? So that clarification is enlightened me on why you know, what's going on over there is going on. So I want to thank you for that. And like I said, with this, like I said, I was on your page, scientifically nationalistic by nature. That's what we are, right? So
yeah,
we have to get back to that, right? And live with nature, because like building our nation is not going to look anything like what this is right now, right? Because we were talking about that in unit study last night, right? I feel like we should have food growing everywhere is grass. Shouldn't be nobody hungry. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have this stuff going on when I was younger, you know? We didn't have this many people hungry and different things, and our communities were more intact. So how do we get back to that, to that? Because we are scientific, you know, like I said, when I was listening to what you were saying, explain that to us.
Yeah, what I mean, that's exactly what it is, what you just stated. You know what I'm saying? We are nationalistic by nature. Because, and what I mean by that, being scientifically nationalistic by nature, is that we lived off the land. Everything about an African is about that land. Indigenous people, period. Because this is something I want to clarify also. Because a lot of people, you know, get this twisted also. When we're talking about African people, and when we're talking about indigenous, so many black people in America have been so colonized that they don't even know what indigenous people is. So when they first think of indigenous people, they think of, you know, and this is no diss or no knock to my brothers and sisters of Native tribes or the Native Americans, Native nations, and things of that nature. I'm not being disrespectful. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, this idea of indigenous people are the Indians. I'm just going to put that out there. This is what, you know, like I said, a strict diet of social engineering, to the point that black people don't even know that they're indigenous people. You see what I'm saying? And I tried to make this point. I want people to get this point so bad. That you are descended and you are indigenous people. Because who were the original people on this planet? Black people, melanated people, whatever terminology you want to do. I don't like to get into too many terminology. Melanated people, black people, African people, whatever you were. Just know that the original man and the original woman look like you. Black people, we're African people. They look like, these are the original man and woman. So that's what indigenous is. You are the indigenous people. And being indigenous is what? Being rooted in nature. You see what I'm saying? That's all that indigenous is. Being indigenous to the land. You are indigenous to that land. So with that is, we know everything that these in this world, we know is rooted in the land. So we got to get back to the land in order to free the land. People got to understand that. You can't free the land if you don't have no connection to land or have any type of entombment to land, because this is who you are, scientifically, period. We grew our own food. That's just point blank. We showed these people. We showed our own colonizers how to be agriculturalists, because we're the original agriculturalists, period. We should, you know, and it's sad that we got to keep saying that and speaking on this, because our people should know this by now. Because if it wasn't for the agriculturalists that they kidnapped from Africa, there wouldn't be no United States of America or this economy that we see today. That's your power. You did that. Your ancestors created that. I want our people to get everything you see in America today. This is what your ancestors created, period. Because that rice, corn, you know what I mean? Cotton, tobacco, all these materials, resources that come from the earth, we grew that for these people. We've been doing that before they came and bothered us in our motherland. So it should be common sense at this point. We need to return to the land, because that's who we are. That's a part of identity. That's a part of who we are spiritually. Land is spiritual too. You see what I'm saying? So when we, like, even down to the concept of nation, people got to understand this is not no deep-ass political spooky-ass term or some spooky-ass shit, you know, excuse my language, that spooky stuff that we should be afraid of because we see the Europeans doing that, something that we taught them. They didn't know what nationhood was until they met our ancestors. You see what I'm saying? Like, everything they try to, like I said on this other video, everything they try to demonize us for, criminalize us for, they took that and tried to psychologically revert that on us to make it look like we're criminals and we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be a nation. We shouldn't be growing our own food. We shouldn't want our own land. We shouldn't want our own nation. All these type of things are reverse psychological warfare. This is what Mutulu taught us. This is what high-intensity war, low-intensity warfare looks like. Period. That's all that low-intensity warfare is to take you away from something that you know will benefit who you are. Benefit your generations. Benefit who you are, period. Land is identity. This is something we got to understand also. So we just got to get back to, like you said, our grandmothers, our grandfathers. This is what we grew up on. Most of the new Africans in America, this is what we grew up on. We grew up knowing how to grow our own food. I know my great grandparents, my great grandmothers, grandfathers, all of them was farmers. So we just got to make this, and I hate to say it, we got to make these type of lifestyles popular to the people in our communities, because people think just because we live in the city, because a lot of us live in the cities, you know what I'm saying, the things of that nature, they think that, you know, we can't do these type of things with the residences that we have. Yes, you can. You can grow a garden in your backyard. Like you just stated a few minutes ago, every piece of green land, we should be filling that up with food. We should be growing our own stuff, herbs, everything, medical. People got to remember, also being tied to the land is growing our own medical resources. Like a lot of this stuff out here that we know that's not healing our people is stuff that we can grow on our own and go back and do it indigenously, period. Grow our own medical resources and things of that nature. But I'm going to just leave it here. This is something that we got to teach our youth, though, because it's in the hands of our youth now. We got to teach them how to grow food. We got to teach them about land and the significance and the importance of land to indigenous people that look like us. That's our reality. Because with all the things that's going on in the empire now, we should know by now that we need to, even with this COVID, the shit, when we went through the COVID thing, that should have been the eye awakener for our people right there.
Exactly.
So we just gotta,
exactly.
we just gotta make this thing tangible. We gotta let them know this is something that you can do. We gotta raise our kids that way. Like we gotta go back to the land. This is where we come from.
Exactly. Land is power. Exactly, and that's why we are freeing the land, trying to free the land. Exactly, because with the, like you said, with everything going on, being self-determined and wanting what we know we deserve, because I'm getting frustrated with them, because when November the 2nd came, I'm seeing folks, ooh, I voted. If you don't vote, don't complain. Shut the hell up. Ain't nobody voting into that shit. It does not even matter to us. They don't even care about us. We have to be self-determined. And I'm not knocking anybody any of our ancestors or our elders that did work in the civil rights movement, because they were doing the work for us. You know what I'm saying? But the difference in civil rights and human rights, right? Because that's what we trying to make our people understand, that human rights are being violated daily. How do we get that back? Because, like you said, self-determination is a human right. How do we get them to understand it's not about no civil rights? It's about human rights, period, our humanity. Go ahead.
Right. Again, great question. Something that we got to make a vocal point and something that we got to really focus on is getting our people to understand international law, understanding human rights, because it's you know, and that's the crazy thing about it, because it's like, if you notice, right, even when we went to school or different generations of people that went to school, and this is how you know that the public education system is a sick system for our people. It might not be sick for those, you know, European Americans, but this is something that we wasn't even made aware of. We wasn't taught these type of things when we was in school. The only thing they taught us in school was civil rights. You know what I'm saying? Y'all fighting for civil rights, this, that, and the third. Cool. Not knocking it, like you just said, not knocking those ancestors who was fighting for civil rights. But we got to understand what Bobby El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, what, you know, sacrificed his life for, and what he taught us, and what he made, you know what I'm saying, the focal point of his life at the end of his life, which was the struggle for human rights, going around the world, letting different African brothers and sisters know, different oppressed people know that your human rights are being violated, you know what I'm saying, and things of that nature. My point is this: when it comes to human rights, by now, it should be, but it's not. But we should know by now, all these generations that have went by, that look what these people did to your ancestors, the Ma'afa, the enslavement. This is the biggest human rights violation in history. And you know, like I said, with all this turmoil going on, all this controversy going on with this Jewish stuff, the Jewish Holocaust and things. And that, yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying? I got respect for everybody, human rights that has been violated. But what about the black man and the black woman in America, human rights that were violated since we were brought to this country and has not been atoned for? We haven't even got a simple apology. They won't even apologize for what they did to our ancestors and what they continue to do to us today. They won't even apologize. Civil rights and all that type of thing, that type of stuff is just a part of, you know, strategic neocolonialism, period. Because at the end of the day, civil rights is not freedom. It's not liberation. You see what I'm saying? That's something that people continue still to get confused between the two. Civil rights is that's an integrationist movement. Because they're trying to become a part of what these people created here with this settler nation, United States of America. That's what civil rights is. You're trying to integrate into that, which is not true freedom. That's not liberation. Because like Malcolm X said, y'all get these terminologies confused. You get the word freedom confused. Freedom is having your own, period. There's no other definition to the word freedom. Freedom is having your own, period. Not being subject to government of others. People, you got to learn that. Not being subject to government of somebody else's government. Period. So we gotta understand. Human rights is the ultimate goal. Always struggle and fight for human rights. Because we have it, like I said, these people haven't atoned for those human rights violations. Period. But in order to know about, you know, international law, human rights, and these things, you know, nature, you got to get politically educated. Without political education, you're not going to be able to understand this struggle for human rights. So, you know, a lot of black people in America just are, you know, diseducated when it comes to political education. That's all. They can't know about something that they don't know nothing about. Human rights is a foreign language to most of our people in America.
So true.
But they can tell you about civil rights because that's a part of this, you know, colonized education system. Because, you know, the European Americans knew if we could colonize you with civil rights, then you ain't going to want to fight for, you know, human rights. Like, it's these little things that we, you know, it's these warfare tactics that they continue to use on us. That, you know, hell, our people, most our people can't even see none of this stuff coming at them.
This is why people
don't realize how deep this colonialism goes. People don't realize how deep this thing is. It's like you can't even, they colonize you so deep, you can't even see these things coming at you.
And this was so messed up. Let's start there.
We have to get politically educated first in order to understand human rights.
Exactly. That's why I'm in political education study classes everywhere, because I am not politically educated. But being in these classes is teaching me about, like you said, human rights, and that other nations, just like the Chicano nations and different things like that, are fighting for these same things. Because I used to be like, hey, these folks ain't our brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying? But they are having the same battle, even though we were the ones that were most, you know, egregious against, you know, doing it, you know, out of everybody. We were the ones that got the worst of it. But it was a lot of other nations that are fighting for this same thing, free the land and different things like that. And that's what I am learning in my political education classes. And I love that I had to do it, because I didn't want to do it, but it is necessary for this struggle. And I saw also you were talking about, now I don't know how to pronounce this word, but it's ODINANI, the Igbo sacred tradition, right? Now, you were saying this is our way back to, and that's our source of liberation. Can you explain that to me, to us?
Oh yes, you're talking about ODINANI, or it's two ways you can pronounce it. You can pronounce it ODINANI, or you could just say it the simple way, Ominala. And what Ominala is, it was basically what we were just conversating about. Ominala is a way of life. It's attached to our spirituality at the same time, but Ominala is just another word for, you know. It's a way of life. It's how we live indigenously. So Ominata is an indigenous way of living for the Igbo people. You see what I'm saying? And what that is right. And this is something we got to understand. We got to learn how to teach this as well. That what basically Ominata is, understanding that our culture, our politics, our nation is an ecosystem, right? An ecosystem is, you see what I'm saying, to who we are. That's what an ecosystem is. Just like being in tune with nature. If you can study and understand nature and observe nature, then you would understand that nature operates on a natural clock, a natural system, meaning everything that we see out here in nature has some type of connection. All the way down to the insects, the trees, the birds, the mammals, which is what we all are, mammals. You see what I'm saying? Everything has a reason for existence. This is how this earth operates. This is how life operates. It operates off an ecosystem, naturally. It's on a natural clock. Everything is working for a reason. That's a better way to explain it. Everything, if you sit around on your front porch and observe everything that's going on in nature right now, from the skies to the earth, and see how everything is in tune, whether it's the sunset, sunrise, moons, eclipses, everything. All these things are operating for a reason. It's the reason that life is life. Because a lot of people don't understand that. Like, this is how you get life. All the way down to, you know, women birth. All the way down to women's cycles. All these types of things. Everything works on a on a natural top. The ecosystem is what I call it. The ecosystem. Interconnection. This is what Ominala is to the Igbo people. So when we're talking about politics, culture, nationhood, these are things that the Igbo people and other ethnic indigenous groups all the way down to the native nations, this is what they define as life. This is how they live their life off of what we call Ominala, that ecosystem. And it's also the system that's going to get you free, if that makes sense. Because once we figure out that all these things are interconnected and they're not separate, prime example, spiritual world, physical world, is not disconnected. It's one. Just because you can see something and you can't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist or it's not the same. So this is a thing that people tend to make a mistake at, and a lot of, you know, people's, whether it's oppressed people's, or, you know, various different oppressed people, this is something that they, you know, and this is due to colonialism. People got to understand this is something else that colonialism did. It took you out of your original ecosystem. So when we're talking about freeing ourselves, right, freeing the land, all these type of things, we have to understand that there's an ecosystem that we have to adhere to liberate us. Spirituality. You have to stop separating spirituality from culture. Because in the Igbo traditions and other indigenous traditions, none of these things are separate. So if they can get those type of things separated, again, this is how they can control you and keep you enslaved. Because they'll have you walking around thinking politics don't got nothing to do with culture. They'll have you walking around thinking culture don't got nothing to do with spirituality. Our ancestors used this as a core strength to free themselves and to establish a society that's beneficial to all freedom-loving people. You got to understand that. Once a colonizer can break that up and separate those and separate the ecosystem, oh, there you go. Imperialism, colonialism, all these terminologies that a lot of our people don't understand are simple terminology. It's about conquering. This is how they conquer you. By separating things that are natural and indigenous to you, that your ancestors established that these are the things that are going to make us a great society, an example of a great society to others of the global community and world. This is what the Republic of New Africa is trying to build. We're trying to be the examples of creating a society that is not like these societies that America has established, British people established, European colonizers have established, capitalism, all these abnormal things that these people have created. We're trying to liberate ourselves to be the example for other peoples to show them this is how society should be. This is how the ecosystem works. Ominala.
I say. I want to thank you again, Minister Hakeem, because you have given us some knowledge tonight. This has been a great show. I'm going to open up the line so that our callers can ask any questions of you if you want. I'm going to start with area code 901570. The line is open. Can you come on in and introduce yourself? And if you have a question or comment, go ahead.
Free the land. This is Sama Ott. How are y'all?
Doing great, Free the land. Thank you for joining us. How you doing tonight? Come on in.
Pretty good. Hey, y'all know I have been enjoying this conversation. Been fantastic. People know it's extremely important for our people to know that everything is interconnected, everything is touching, everything is there's nothing in the universe works alone, you know. One thing that we have lost as a people, to add on to what Minister Haji has been saying, is that we are the magic. Our words, our deeds, everything. Like, we have to be extremely conscious of what we do, how we say certain things, because whatever we say, it comes into fruition. Okay? So if we have a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, oh, this ain't, that's not, that, okay. So, you know, we have to really be cognizant of that as we put these things into practice and as we are building and alchemizing, you know. We are those people. It's just we either got lost through religion. We stopped being spiritual. We stopped being religious, you know, and folks putting us in particular boxes and took spirit away from us. Jesus and God don't even have nothing to do with you. You know, when it's, everything's interconnected. So I really appreciated this conversation this evening. I yield back.
I say thank you, Madam President. Thank you. We're going to open up the next line. If you have a question or comment, area code 423-291. Your line is open. Come on in and introduce yourself. And if you have a question or comment, go ahead. Okay, we're going to go to the next line. Okay, area code 667-354. Your line is open. If you have a question or comment, come on in, introduce yourself, and join us.
Free the land, everybody.
Hey,
I consider it a definite honor, man, to be able to hear the words from our PGRNA Minister of Foreign Affairs, man. So honor to you, brother. The comment that I had is, I like how you brought up the awareness of international law and how important that is in our struggle to free the land and overthrow our oppressors here in America. And I agree with your idea that the educational system here is a disease against us. It makes us think that our struggle is one of civil rights or something that is to be hashed out independently of, you know, the world revolution. So that was encouraging for me to hear you say that, especially in your position as a PGRNA representative of the New African Nation. So I'm definitely behind you, bro. Definitely behind you in that regard. But yeah, that's it, man. Free the land, man.
Okay,
totally,
can you tell us who you are?
Yeah, I'm from out of, I like to consider this northern New Africa. I'm from out of Maryland.
Okay, and what's the name?
Brother Kasim.
Okay, all right. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for joining us. Go ahead, Brother Haki, what you were going to say?
No, I was just thinking, the brother. I appreciate that, brother. You know, man, I'm still learning as well when it comes to international law, you know, and international politics. Like I always like to tell people, man, you really need, we really got to make that as something that's a lifestyle, that's you know, teaching that part when it comes to like international law and things of that nature. Because, you know, they don't teach none of that in these public education systems. They don't, you know, we have to bring that into our households is something that I would say. You know, we got to make our kids, you know, aware of that type of, you know, education, because that's not a part of our curriculum when we're dealing with this public education system when it comes to international law and things, you know, of that nature. But yeah, man, we got to make that. Like I said, all this stuff is an ecosystem. So we have to make it a lifestyle. It has to be a part of our everyday lifestyle. Like these terminologies, and you know, because you know, for somebody outside looking in, or even the younger generation,
they would take these terminologies and see it as something spooky, you know, or something to fear. You see what I'm saying? Or something that only Europeans know about. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
Something that our oppressors, period, or other people's period. Like, that's something that only other people know about or should be talking about or should be making, you know, a part of their life. You know what I'm saying? But no, we got to understand that we're a part of this world community too. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
You know, I get it to a certain degree, you know what I'm saying? Because at first these terms, I ain't going to lie, I feared these terms at first when I was ignorant to it. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, I shouldn't be learning about that. You know what I'm saying? Or like I said, when they killed Malcolm, that was something that they did on purpose to put fear in our people to be like, no, you better not go that far. You better not talk about no United Nations. You better not talk about no international. All these things are things they do on purpose to instill the fear, like, no, don't go that far. But as new African workers, new African citizens, this is something that we have to make as a habit in our community. We got to teach these type of things so we can remove the fear aspect. That's what we got to do.
I agree with that, brother. If I may say something along with that, in terms of the term genocide, reading a couple international documents and concerns of that, a lot of the times I run across people who believe that genocide is just this flat-out, overt, just wholesale murder of people, although that is a part of it. It was through reading Brother Yaki, James Sales, or Atiba Shana's work in the New African Journals that kind of woke me up to that respect and understanding how broad the term was in terms of how, you know, the United Nations, I think it's the prevention of the crime of and punishment of genocide, how they define the term genocide and how I think it's like four or five points. Throughout my own work, people don't really understand that everything that we know that New African people, black people here in America are experiencing is, according to international law, an act of genocide against us. And I feel like just as much as that affected me reading that, I could see that sometimes people have the same effect when they come across it. Like, you know, this is a term that Europeans have been skilled in only applying to certain groups of people, and we don't see it as something applying to us until we understand exactly what it is. So, man, I'm with you, bro. I'm definitely behind you, man.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to get our next call in because I want to get everybody in before the show. Because, like I said, Brother Hakeem, you've given us some good information tonight.
Free the land.
Free the land.
3-3, come on in, introduce yourself, and if you have a question or comment, come on in. Your line is open.
I'm just listening that today's topic was very, very enlightening. I'm glad I tuned in and heard what brother had to say. I enjoyed it. It's something that I live by daily, and I wish other people would wake up, because these people are literally destroyed if we don't wake up. So that's all I have. It's good here to have brothers standing up, speaking knowledge, sharing it. Hope others will take the knowledge and put it to use on a day-to-day lifestyle. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama, for joining us. Thank you. Much, much love.
Yes,
much
thank
love.
You. Thank you. Yes, thank you, sister.
Tonight we're going to open up the next line, area code 859-953. Your line is open. 859-953. Your line is open. Come on in, introduce yourself, and if you have a question or comment, go ahead.
Pretty land, Baba Lucada, checking in. Greetings, Baba. And sister, how y'all doing?
How you doing tonight?
Pretty land,
Baba Lucada, thank you for joining us.
By all means, by all means, I'm doing well. Thank you for the education. It is so much needed, and we certainly hope that you will continue to provide the we expect that you will continue to provide the knowledge and giving us something to think about. But I wanted to make sure that we get an opportunity to also talk about upcoming events relevant to the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. And of course, we have what we call a face-to-face meeting of the leadership of the provisional government. And I was just wondering, do you plan to participate in that face-to-face meeting, either through a stream or in a face-to-face person? And of course, that face-to-face session will be November the 18th through the 20th.
Oh yes. I definitely will participate. Whether it's through streaming or however y'all gonna do it. Yeah, I'll definitely participate. This is my first time being made aware of that.
Okay, yeah. The provisional government, according to its constitution, requires that the leadership of the government meet at least twice a year. Once in July and then another time in November. And of course, we met in July. We met in South Carolina, and then of course in December, or excuse me, in November, of course the meeting is in Megger Eversville, and so we'll be like I said, we'll be meeting in Megger Eversville from the 18th to the 20th. We'll be having some sessions there. We look forward to your presence at that time. The next event that we wanted to make sure that everyone is aware of, and we hope that we get greater participation in, is of course the national elections of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. And of course those elections are held every 3 years. We had our last election in 2020, so we'll have our next national election, and it's actually national and local. We'll have our national and local elections November the 5th through the 3rd in 2023. And of course, during that time, we will be electing or re-electing, whichever way it worked out. We'll be electing a president, 3 vice presidents. We'll be electing district representatives for the various certified people's districts, as well as district judges from those same districts. And then new to the ballot for a while anyway, we hope to have nominees for our own People's Court, which we identify as our own Supreme Court. And then, of course, if citizens have any type of resolution that they want to put on the ballot, then, of course, they would be invited to do that as well. But my question is, can we expect your district to be more active in the election process this year, or next year, actually?
I'm actually talking to one other individual now that was a part of that first process when I first, got the district. He had some issues going on, but he's straight now. So I'm talking to him now, and we're trying to figure out, we're trying to get more people on board, because right now, like, we just don't have enough people. But I know it don't take too many people to, run the district and get, organized within the district. But this is a real trusted comrade that I work with. We do work here in the community. We're trying to get a couple of more people on board. so we can actually be functional to, you know, actually, you know, participate in that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Any way that we can help.
Trust me, Bob Lucado, I'm trying.
I understand. I'm having struggles too, and I'm in the capital. I'm in the capital of our government, and I'm having trouble getting active involvement as well. But we do have some literature that I will be sharing with you that might help people to better understand what the government is all about, in particular the electoral process. And I'll be sharing that with you very soon. But if there's any other way that I can help in terms of political education relevant to our election process, as you know, I am on the National Election Commission, and right now I serve as the chair of that commission. So if there's anything that I can do to help to spear or spark interest in the district, then, you know, you got my number. Feel free to use it anytime.
Gotcha.
And again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the education. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you.
All right. And thank you, sister, for having this platform and continuing to do the work. And we look forward to working with you continually. With that, we say free to land.
Free to land. Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for joining us tonight. We're going to open up our last line. Area code 901-849. Your line is open. Area code 901-849. Your line is open. Come on in, introduce yourself, and if you have a question, come in. Come on in.
Free land, comrade. This is a brother prophecy. How y'all doing tonight?
Free land, brother prophecy.
I'm well, just enjoying the show. First of all, I want to say, well, thank you, Melly Queen, for doing what you do. You always bringing the heat and the fire of guests on your show. And thank you, comrade brother, for all the information that you continue to drop and everything that you do, all the work that you come do. Man, I appreciate it. And I hope you continue the excellent work. But the comment that I want to say is, I think, like your job and what you're doing and what you were saying about trying to make those international reconnections between revolutionary organizations and indigenous people is so important to what we're trying to do, because one thing that has happened to us being a colonized people is we don't realize that we are global people and we are engaged in a global struggle that is against a global enemy and a global oppression. This enemy of this system of white supremacy, imperialism, capitalism has really been devastating to the entire planet. So it's like, as long as we are looking at ourselves as individuals who are just simply colonies of the United States, which we are, but if we don't look at ourselves as a global people, then we don't realize that in reality, globally, we outnumber them over 10 to 1. That's just us, you know, but then you combine that with all of the other oppressed people over the world, then you realize that they are a very, very tiny minority group of people who has used these political and economic systems to control the world. So we have to forge these alliances with people, because the saying is, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, these I'm sorry, I ain't gonna get too loud, but these individuals have created a whole lot of damn enemies. So we gotta erase that mindset that we just here on the United States and our struggle is not related to what's going on the continent, on the different nations on the continent, and not related to what's going on in South America, not related to what's going on in Palestine and all through the globe, because these European people have been balling and they have been living their heaven on earth off of the backs of indigenous people for too damn long. It was time for us to raise ourselves up and collectively build here in the United States and forge those alliances so we can tackle this goddamn beast and we can free the land. And I yield on it. Thank y'all again for what y'all do.
I
know that's right. I like that kind of talk.
Most definitely.
definitely, Ashe. Brother Aki, I want you to give us your closing comment. Like I said, this has been a great show. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Come on, give us your final thoughts, and you know you are welcome here anytime. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us. So come on with your final thoughts, and thank you, brother. Thank you for this education tonight. Go ahead.
Yes, of course, I definitely have to thank you for, you know, bringing me on your platform. I truly appreciate it. I'm humble. And, yes, keep doing what you're doing as well. You know, we need these type of platforms so we can talk like this, you know, and things of that nature. I truly enjoyed it. I just want to say thank you to everybody that called in as well. Trust me. Some of y'all, I be following y'all too. You know, I'm in tune with everything y'all, what y'all doing. Trust me, I'm watching, I'm looking, I'm learning, I'm listening. I'm not just teaching myself. I'm also learning from everybody else. That's something I want to tell everybody. I'm learning from everybody. So I just want to thank everybody that called in. And yeah, man, continue to, you know, educate yourself, so you can liberate yourself, so we can help liberate us, and definitely get politically educated. That's the most important tool. And yeah, man, we gotta establish these international, you know, relationships, connections with our brothers and sisters across this planet, also with oppressed across this planet, and just continue to, you know, putting in the good fight, man. Keep fighting up the fight. Keep putting up the good fight.
I say thank you all for joining us tonight. Like I said, this has been a great, great show. I've enjoyed myself. Like I said, we are tuned in to the New African Broadcast Association. Please reach out and support. We are here. We are going to keep propagating. We're going to keep mobilizing, connecting. We love you all. Thank you all for joining the Truth and Power Corner. Peace, power, free the land.
Y'all need to get the truth so we can gain some power. Truth and Power Corner. Melly Queen. Billers. Every Friday, we do it like this.
Yes, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How are you all doing today? How is everybody doing? I got my brothers coming in. It's one of my favorite times of the day. So, you want to join us tonight? Call in at 516-387-1549. And most need to join the call.
The truth be all up on ya, it's spreading like corona. Melly Queen is supreme, Truth and Power Corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, Truth and Power Corner. We give the people what they need, Truth and Power Corner. Free the land by any means, Truth and Power Corner. Melly Queen is supreme, Truth and Power Corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, Truth and Power Corner. Dropping black facts at this exact hour. Hear the bill of nation, call it black power. Rain the knowledge down like a black shower, standing tall for the people like a black shower. We take the system down and build our nation up. Ain't no replacing us, ain't no erasing us. We got the system taken, cause they be facing us. We showing world love, cause they embracing us. We fight for independence, freedom is what's intended. See, we didn't start this war, but we about to end it. Our nation, we defend it, yo, best believe we win it. Cause we always speak the truth, no matter who offends. Cause they been lying to us, and they mistreating us. Holy be beating us, I think we've seen enough. Long as we stick together, then we will never fail. Come on, let's fight for freedom and build a better world. The truth be all up on ya, it spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme, Truth and Power Corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, Truth and Power Corner. We give the people what they need, Truth and Power Corner. Free the land by any means, Truth and Power Corner. Melly Queen is supreme, Truth and Power Corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream.
We are going to always continue to fight because this is our protracted fight. Salute to all of our political prisoners, POWs, elder comrades, and exiles.
who's not doing enough to get them home. They are still suffering and being tortured and murdered daily. What are y'all prepared to do? Salute to all of our grassroots Black media platforms and our sisters and brothers who continue to bring us the knowledge and information to keep us connected. Thank you all for your hard work and service. Salute to Republic of New Africa, Madam President Salma, Madam Vice President Mama Aya, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our new African nation. We encourage you to check us out at our website at pg-rna.com to find out more and how to support and donate to the nation. Free the land.